You're listening to Real Relationships on JewishCoffeeHouse.com. I'm Mickey Lavin-Pell, marriage therapist and relationship coach.
And I'm Molly Livingstone, a comedian drinking coffee. And today we are talking about...
Is your inner control freak controlling your relationship?
What does that mean? I know I'm controlling, so I'll control this conversation.
Yeah, that shouldn't be too hard.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So do you feel the need to always be in control when it comes to your relationship? Does your relationship always have to be on your terms? Or is it possible to create more of a balance between what you need and what your partner needs? Do you feel like you always have to control the way that the time goes and what you do? And
these are all rhetorical questions because they're all obvious. Yes, yes, yes.
For me,
yes, yes, yeah. Why wouldn't I want to control things? Then they're the way I need them to be, and then I'm happy.
But the thing is, the idea of being in a relationship is really be able to say, okay, I realize that I want things to be a certain way, but I also realize that there's somebody else here, and I need to be mindful of what they need, and be able to balance out, you know, the time that I want to be spending in the relationship with the other person and time that we spend apart. And be able to talk about these things. So sometimes we might just want to be able to have what we have the way that we have it, you know, kind of have our cake and eat it too, you know, in the relationship. And sometimes we have to just say, look, you know, he wants things a certain way and I want things a certain way. And we're just going to have to sometimes spend some time apart.
Yeah, but you know what? I also find that people that don't control in terms of time or this or that are also in a way controlling because of not controlling. Like they're setting boundaries as well.
Right. Right. But you're right. That is a different kind of control. So
control freaks like to be right, just so you know.
Well, then that's why our relationship works out so well, Molly, doesn't it? But I mean, one thing that I'm talking about in particular is the whole pushing and pulling in a relationship. And what I mean by that is, so you have the person who pushes in a relationship, who's constantly feeling that they need to be critical to have more in the relationship. They need more presence. They need more connection. They need more attention. They need to feel like they're always getting enough from the other partner. They might feel that they're giving too much and that the other person isn't giving enough.
Let's call this one the Molly in the relationship.
Okay, we could call it the Molly. Or as Harriet Lerner, who wrote in her book, The Dance of Anger, and she wrote a lot of different books that all had the dance in it, like The Dance of Connection and The Dance of Parenthood and The Dance of all these different things. She calls it the Pursuer Distancer. Ann Sue Johnson, she created emotionally focused couples therapy. She calls it pushing and pulling in a relationship. And she calls it a sort of a dance that every couple will do. There's a withdrawer and there's the pursuer as well. She calls it pursuer withdrawing. It's a slight difference, but they're basically saying the same thing. Now, with the withdrawer, they're generally reacting to the pursuer. And what they do is that they gain some sort of control in the relationship by doing what you described a moment ago, by not being on time, by making excuses for not being able to meet as much, for thinking less about their partner, meaning that they don't consider their partner as much as maybe what the pursuer would think of.
Is this, in like normal people terms, the player?
Some people might see them as the player, but they're not necessarily doing it on purpose. The player is generally a person who is actually a player, really doesn't want to be in a relationship. This person might actually want to be in a relationship, but their reaction when they are in a relationship and when they feel that the person they're with is too controlling is to distance themselves, to move back.
Okay.
That's what they do. So it's just, I think, important to just highlight that this is what happens for a lot of different couples. For most couples, we have this sort of dynamic happening. And the more that you are aware that you're either pursuing too much or withdrawing too much, and that this too muchness is killing or destroying the relationship, then you could actually change things around a little bit.
I mean, I see this kind of dance that you were talking about, not necessarily anger, but happening a lot at the beginning of relationships when people date.
Yeah.
And mostly amongst like 20-somethings, even 30-somethings, it's all about just texting.
Right.
So it's, when do I text? How many texts do I send? What do I put in my text? And it's this kind of like back and forth of, I don't know, that's communication nowadays, but it's this dance that either gets you nowhere or gets you everywhere.
Right. Well, it used to be with phone calls, but now it could be anything. You know, it could be through texting, it could be through Facebooking, it could be through any sort of messaging type thing.
Right, but the only difference was if it was a phone call, there was substance. Like, it wasn't a phone call like, do you want to get together for coffee? Yeah, how about 8? Yes, sounds good. At the local Starbucks? Yes. And that's it.
Right.
Because that's what a text essentially is.
Right.
There's banter. There's talking. There's hearing the voice. There's things that it just doesn't come out the same as texting. I feel like that's like a breakdown.
Well, there's voice texting too, which is a little bit different. Still, at least you hear a tone of voice. So you get a sense of whether the person is, you know, flirty or whether they're angry or
whatever. I feel like unless it's my friend, I feel dumb leaving voice messages. Because you're like talking to yourself on the street, even though other people may think you're having a conversation. It's just weird because I need that person's feedback to be myself in a relationship. Like, does that make any, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, we're digressing. We're digressing,
as usual. So anyhow, so I think it's just really important to understand that this is what's happening, that you're going to be probably in one of these two positions when you're in a relationship. And if you are a control freak and you're the sort of person who feels you need this constant feedback, at least if you're aware of the fact that when you are more controlling, that you're actually setting up a situation where the other person is probably going to push back. So you need to think about how you're going to manage that. First and foremost, you want to recognize that this is something that you have a tendency to do. And to just kind of take a chill pill, calm down a little bit, relax, realize that the other person prioritizes things a little bit differently or needs a little bit more space in order to feel that they are welcome to come in. And that it's not about how they feel about you. It's not a personal thing that they're not responding to the text straight away or they're afraid. If you do have control issues and you do feel that maybe you have a tendency to try to control the relationship and have things the way that you want them to be, at least if you recognize that and you could create some space where the other person can then come in, then you have a better likelihood of making a relationship that's going to last and to be as satisfying as you would like it to be to the greatest extent that you can. Because one thing you have to realize, if you're the sort of person who feels that you need a relationship on your terms, it's never going to be satisfying for you. But if you could actually recognize that you could just do the best that you can and that the other person is trying to do the best that they can, then you have a greater chance of feeling happy enough.
That's a really good takeaway. That's like a really, I need that on a Hallmark card. I need that somewhere. I need that like a, that should be on the mirror for the control freak.
Yeah.
Seriously, written on the mirror that you look at it. I really believe in these, like, especially because it's at the beginning of the year and you think of like how to own resolutions or I think habits.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good reminder, especially for someone like me who does like to control, not just in relationships, but everything, which I thought was a good thing. Mm. But as I learned, it leads to sort of disappointment and failures in communication, actually, is to remind yourself that like the other person is not like you. The other person has their ways.
Right.
And for me to take a step back is still staying within control. As long as I can also control the step back.
Yeah.
In my world.
Right. That gives you a sense of control, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because the other way, like you're saying, is like it's a false sense of control because you think you're controlling it, but you're not because the other person's pulling away. So you're really having no control at all.
Exactly. And if you were with someone who is as controlling as you, then it would be really
– Oh, I was going to ask
no
about
contest.
That, but it's just bad.
It would just be bad.
So I'd like to know – out there, who's listening, who's in control in the relationship? Have you had this problem before? Has this been a deal breaker? Have you found that you're the one that's actually withdrawing? You should write in, share your story. You can also be on the show if you want, anonymously or not. Doesn't matter. You can be a Molly like me. I always put it out there. Write us at realrelationships@jewishcoffeehouse.com and really take away what Mickey just said. I think that was so wise. It's always good to take that step back. Controlling or not, you still have that power. This has been another episode of Real Relationships.